Good morning. It's great to see all of you here today. Next week at this time, Lord willing, might you come to this building and see a different color on the outside. That is, we plan to have this place painted, changed, transformed. But I think of that and I think of why we come here. We come here so that as we are here week after week and hear the Word of God and are worshiping together and fellowshipping together, that our lives might be inside, internally, then might we be ones who are transformed. That's what God wants. Gary prayed. He says, might we be more like Jesus. That really is true. That's really our main prayer. We want to be like Christ. That's what God wants for each one of us here. Corporations often have a vision statement that explains its purpose, its direction, its reason for why it does what it does. But what's that for the Christian? I really believe that Philippians 1:21 makes it very, very clear. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. From the moment you're saved to the moment that you die and leave this earth, this verse should define your life. It should be a verse that gives direction to your life. This verse is an important verse, a powerful verse, a profound verse, an instructional verse, one that is very challenging. And it's one that should be, I believe, a life verse that really covers every aspect of our life as a Christian. You've all heard the phrase, who, what, when, where, why, how. Well, let's think of those words in view of this verse in Philippians 1:21. Well, the who in this verse is you. Because it says, for to me. And so it's talking about each one of us here. The what is to live. That is, what is this verse all about? Well, it's about living. It's about real living. It's about how God wants us as believers to live the Christian life. The when is now and forever. As I mentioned to you last week, the Greek construction of this verse, there's no is. It just says, for to me to live, Christ, to die, gain. I believe that's saying, hey, it's all the time. This verse then is meaningful and relevant to us all the time that we live on this earth. The where, of course, is everywhere. Because the Holy Spirit of God is in each one of us here as believers. And therefore, wherever we are at, we can then live for Christ. Wherever, whether that's on this earth or whether that is in heaven. The why is Christ. Why do you live? We're to live for Christ. We're not to live for self. We're to live for Him, for His purposes, for His glory, for His will to be done. You know the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come, and thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're here, for His will to be accomplished. The how is through Christ. Philippians 1:11 speaks of, quote, the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. The only way that you can really live the Christian life is through Jesus Christ, by Jesus Christ and living His life through you. And so we have this short but this great verse, to live is Christ and to die is gain, that sums up our lives as Christians. We talked last time about how to live as Christ means that we're saved by Christ. It's by Christ's atoning death, His death on the cross for us, His resurrection from the dead. It's by that then that we are saved. We're saved by Christ and only through Christ. We talked about how to live as Christ means we have a relationship with Christ. We know Him. We have eternal life, which means we have a relationship with Jesus Christ Himself as well as God the Father. And so we know the Lord. We know His love. We then can love Him and enjoy Him and be satisfied by Him and trust in Him. This is what the Lord wants for us all, to have this personal relationship with Christ, the most important relationship in the world. We talked about how to live as Christ means that we are to serve Him. We're not to do what we want. We're to do what Christ wants. We're to do what's on His heart. That's what we're talking about here. To live as Christ then means that everything in our life, everything, is to be about Christ. That is, your thought life, all your thoughts, your speech, all your words, your actions, your personal life, your work. You should be able to say, to work is Christ. Your friendships that you have, your recreation, your eating. You should be able to say, to eat is Christ. To drink is Christ. It's all about Christ. Your recreation, your exercise, everything. Your time, your weekdays, your weekends, your night times. It's all about Christ. And that's because Jesus Christ is Lord. He is Lord. That's the truth. And He is to reign then in your life. And this is what's best for you. And sometimes we don't think this way, but this is the truth. God knows what's best for our life. And God knows what's best for His glory. So might it be true then that each of us come to the point in our lives where we can say, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. that Christ is what life is all about. God wants each of us then to get to that point. But let me share a few more thoughts about what this means to live as Christ. And again, we could take weeks and weeks because to live as Christ refers to every aspect of your life. We're just taking a couple weeks to sum up this verse here. It means that it will cost you your life. Luke 9:23-4 says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. To live as Christ then means saying no to self. Yourself, your old flesh, and Jesus Christ cannot occupy your heart at the same time. They cannot do that. So God is at work in your heart, more than you realize, trying to crucify and to kill, to put to death then yourself, so that Christ, his Son, by the Spirit of God, can live his life through you. Be aware of this. This is what God wants you then to be sensitive to every day, because he wants, as it says in Colossians 3:5, to do just this, as they're put to death the deeds of the flesh. So practically speaking, this is what God wants for you. There are many days in my life where I'm going along and, Lord, I don't really want to do this. That is, my flesh doesn't want to do it. And you understand that. Many times your flesh doesn't want to do what God is calling you to do, but that's where you put to death. Say, okay, Lord, I give in to you. I will do what you want me to do because you know that's best. You believe that even though you don't feel like it. So it's learning this and practically putting to death the flesh, crucifying the flesh so that Christ might live his life through you. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses we've looked at before, but I love these verses because they make it so clear what we're just talking about here. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. We read, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Understanding from that verse that Christ died. He gave up his life for us, so might we then give up our life so that his life can be lived in us. We go on in verse 11. We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake. Do you get that verse? We who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. And if we're not being given over to death, then this last part of this verse cannot be true. That is, the life of Jesus then may not be manifested in our flesh. But this is what the Lord wants for us. So it says in verse 12, so death works in us, but life in you. And see, the thought here in this verse is death works in us as we're putting to death the flesh because our life is for the sake of others. It's not about us. It's about our life being put to death so that others then can benefit from the life of Christ being lived and being seen in our lives. It says in Philippians, end of the chapter 1, for to you it's been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. You know, we like that first part of the phrase, to believe in him, but it also says to suffer for him. And I can't help but think that all of us here as Christians, you have suffered to some degree for Christ. Maybe some of you here have suffered a lot more. But I think you understand that when you suffer for him, this is where life is at. This is when Christ's life then can be really lived in you as you suffer for him. So, number one, it means it'll cost you your life. Number two, it means spiritual warfare, that you're fighting and battling and struggling against the enemy. It means you realize that you're in a spiritual war and that you are a soldier. You realize that you understand that you're in the front lines and you're then to fight for the Lord and to fight against the enemies of God. We all understand what it means. We talk about people overseas in Iran, Iraq, or Afghanistan, other places there, in the front lines fighting, active soldiers, men and women. We thank the Lord. We appreciate these people who are serving us in this way. But might we not forget that as Christians, we too are on the front lines, and we are to be spiritually battling every day of our life. And if you forget that, that's when the enemy comes and gets you. You forget. You're taking it easy, sort of lazy, not being disciplined. You all understand this. The enemy comes after you when you're not suspecting him. Might you understand then that each of us here, we are in a battle too. We are on the front lines every day. Might our minds and hearts be then alert to that. And so it's not easy. It says in Ephesians 6, it says the flaming arrows of the evil one are flying. But you're to put up the shield of faith and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And with that, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, this great verse, the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of fortresses. The weapons of our warfare, I'm primarily speaking the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. That's your weapon. That's what you need every day of the week. In this spiritual war, you will stumble. You will get hurt. That is true. We all are affected at times. But the truth is, if we are in Christ, and He then being our captain, He being our commander-in-chief, He being the one who has already won the war, now we're just seeing at this time this victory being carried out on this earth. And completely and fully the conclusion we see when He comes back. But the point is this. Sometimes life is hard. Sometimes you stumble. Sometimes you fall. Sometimes you sin. And you have to understand, I still, by God's grace, by Christ's work for me, I still will be a winner. Always see that. Always think that. You know, you watch a game on TV and a certain team you're for and you're rooting for them, you know, and you hope they win. But you don't know. You hope they win. Might we as Christians know that we have already won? If you're in Christ, if you're a Christian, you have already won the victory. Please understand that. Don't ever let the devil think that you're defeated, that you're a loser. That is not true. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Number three, to live as Christ means that you'll be different than the world. For the world's plan is completely contrary, diametrically opposed to God's plan for your life. And so you may not do what your parents or your friends or your teachers or your neighbors or your peers or your financial planner wants you to do. For you're only to do what Christ wants you to do. That's what it's about. You're not, by the world's standards, going to be popular or famous because you'll be different. You'll be living a holy life, a life that is set apart and radically different than how the world operates. Turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 6. It's 1976, and I was praying about my life, what I should do. I was in northeast Iowa, sitting on Kramer's Hill. Another place called Lover's Leap, just a couple of locations there in Elkader, a small town of 1,700 people. And I was praying, and I was thinking, and I was reading the Word. God, what do you want? These verses really affected me. Luke 6, verse 20. And it says, and turning his gaze toward his disciples, he began to say, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. Blessed are you when men hate you and ostracize you and insult you and scorn your name as evil for the sake of the Son of Man. Be glad in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way their fathers used to treat the prophets. Now listen to these. This is strong. Woe to you who are rich, for you're receiving your comfort in full. That doesn't mean you can't have money, you can't be rich. What it means is that that's what you're living for. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you shall be hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Again, if people's desire, if that's their purpose, like to eat well and to laugh and to be entertained, woe to you, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for the fathers used to treat the false prophets in the same way. Good verses, instructional verses for what our life is to be like as a Christian. At times as Christians, you'll stand out, and that's because you're speaking up and you're speaking out for the Lord and for His purpose. You're speaking out the gospel. That is, you're not quiet. You're telling people the truth. Like Jesus, what He said here in John 7. He says, the world hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. Do people hate you because you love them, because you're kind to them? No. No. Jesus was loving all these people. He was doing all kinds of miracles, and He had these great crowds, and they were amazed and impressed, and they wanted to see what He was going to do next, and they wanted to be healed. They wanted to follow Him when He loved them in that way. But what does it say here? The world hates me because what? I testify of it that its deeds are evil. The reason the world, the reason people hate Christ, is because they don't like the truth, particularly the truth about their sin. That they're going the wrong way. I mean, I can't help that many of you here have told people the truth about God and about Christ, and there may have been times when they didn't like you for what you said, right? That's happened to me. You share the truth, and man, you get blasted. Wow. That's going to happen. The world will hate you because you will testify to it that its deeds are evil. To live as Christ means you're in the body of Christ, and that Christ is the head of this body. And God wants you to realize, each one of you here, that you as a believer, that you are part of His body, the body of Christ, that you are part of His team. You have to see that. I'm part of the team. I mean, I might have told you my third grade story, but you know, we had this, you know, we always played the fourth graders in softball in the lot during, you know, recess and stuff, and I got picked last or second last, you know. But I made the team. I was on the team, you know. But you understand that when you don't feel like you're part of the team, you're part of the team. And God wants you to know that He has put you on the team, that He has placed you exactly where He wants you to be. Exactly. That's important, to have this confidence. And only as you're involved in the church, then, will you experience the fullness of Christ in your life. I say that because if there is a loner Christian that he's by himself and doing his own thing and not really involved in a church, he is not going to experience the fullness of Christ. And I mentioned this last week with the example from Ephesians 3 where it says the believers are together and they could experience together the height, the breadth, the length, the width of Christ's love. You cannot experience the height, the breadth, the depth, the length of Christ's love on your own. You cannot. You cannot. And if love is one of or the most important thing, might we be ones who are involved with the body of Christ in an active way so we can experience all that God has for us. God wants to richly bless you, but blessing only comes if you really are living for Christ. It says in John 10, it says, Jesus says, I came that you might have life and might have it to the full. In Ephesians 1:3, in the introduction, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly places with every spiritual blessing. So understanding then that as a believer you are blessed, and that as you live for the Lord and as you live for Christ, that you will be blessed supremely. So that's what the Lord wants for you. Well, to live as Christ, continuing on this thought about the body of Christ, to live as Christ means you realize you can't make it on your own. It means you realize that you need others. Sometimes our pride keeps us from talking to others or being involved with others or being open with others about our lives. But might that not be living for Christ? And to say to live as Christ means that you need others, but it also means that others need you. As you are involved in the body of Christ, you will see how God then will use your own life for the sake of others. This means then that there will be this mutual interdependence, this mutual interaction among the members of the body. And it means then that Christ will be seen in your life as you are in the body of Christ, as you are serving others with a spiritual gift that God has given you. This is when Christ will be seen in your life. And so to live as Christ then means you're actively involved in a church, in a Christ-centered, a Christ-led, a Christ-directed, Christ-glorifying church. This is how you know then that you'll be blessed. And this is how you know then that you'll be a blessing to others. Because you want that, right? Don't you want to be a blessing to others? If you're involved in the church, then you can be a blessing to others. And also then finally, and most importantly, a blessing to God in that. In that, then you'll be one who is glorifying Him. And so when the members of the body are working together, the final result will be that Christ will be seen as the sum of the individual parts. You all know what a cake is. Most of you have made a cake. Flour, sugar, eggs, water, milk, whatever things, all the stuff. You put it in. But when you eat a cake, do you ever taste the flour? Do you ever taste the eggs? No, you don't. You taste the cake. And so might we then as a church, might we be like a cake? Might people come in here and taste the cake? That is, taste Christ. That's what I'm saying. This is what the Lord wants. He wants to be seen then in our church. But how does this happen? How does to live as Christ take place? Just a few thoughts. These are ones we've talked about many times before, but just to review. It means, number one, that you know that you're saved. There are many, many Christians who just don't know they're saved. I mean, the first probably two, maybe three of my Christian life, I just wasn't sure. I didn't have that assurance in my own life back in the early 70s. I didn't. But it's important for you then to know that you're saved. And you can know this because you believe the truth, but more so you can know this because you've seen that the Word of God and the Spirit of God is working in your life, and so then Christ is being seen in your life and through your life. You have this confidence because if any man is in Christ, it says he's a new creation. Old things pass away, new things have come. You can see, wow, I'm different. I'm thinking different. I'm talking different. I want to be with believers. I like to read His Word. There's a difference. There's a change. So you know you've been saved by Christ. Number two, it means you know you're a child of God. And you have this relationship with God, this relationship with Christ. And you love them, and you know they love you. It means you're humble. It means you see that you're a slave of Christ, and you want then to take up your cross. You want to do what God wants you to do. Might we be ones who every day of the week say, Lord, here I am. What do you want me to do for you today? That's the heart that he wants us to have. And sometimes it's hard to get that point. We need to pray, Lord, I'm not even willing to say that. So, Lord, make me willing to say that. Then you get to that point and you're a broken vessel, one who's humble that he can use. It means that you know God's Word. And you believe God's Word. You trust God's Word. You love God's Word. You read God's Word. And you do what God says in His Word. That's what it means. And this is so important. I mean, in a few weeks, Gary and I talked about this. Sometime probably the end of June, we're thinking of just talking here for a few minutes about how practically can you be in the Word of God. And we're going to share some of our own examples and examples from some of you. We just want to talk to you. But how can you be in the Word of God on a regular basis? Because if you're not, I mean, you know, you eat food every day, physical food, right? 3 times a day or 4 times or whatever. You eat food. How much more so should we be eating the spiritual food of God on a regular basis? So important for us. I cannot stress this enough. It means, and I mentioned this last week, the last part of my message, it means asking the Holy Spirit to strengthen you so that Christ then can live in your heart by faith. Because I talked last week about how to live as Christ, and what can you do then? Well, at least you can do is pray. Say, Lord, make it real in my life. And that's what Ephesians 3, that prayer 14, 15, 16, 17, is talking about, praying that the Holy Spirit would make this real in your life so that Christ then would be living in your heart through faith. That's what it says. So it's important to pray, to be in the Word, to pray, to be humble. It means that you know that it's not about you. It's all about Christ. We get up day after day, and I've said this before, we think about what we want to do, and that's fine. There's certain things we need to get done, and our job and assignments and everything else, but we need to think about, Lord, it's about you. It's not about me. The desire then should be to glorify Christ and to exalt him. As Paul said in Philippians 1:20, I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body. You can just feel the determination, the heart, the spirit that Paul had there. And might we have that heart as well, the desire. Yes, Christ, I want you to be seen. I want you to be exalted. That is what I want, and that's what I'm living for. And all this, then, it means that Christ's life, then, is being lived through you. The verse I've shared so many times, I want to share again. It says, I've been crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Is that verse true about your life? Can you say that? No longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. That's what we're talking about today. To live as Christ means Christ is living his life through you and in you. That's the point. It's a great verse. This is the kind of verse you should put on your wall. It's the kind of verse you have on your desk. The kind of verse you should memorize. Crucified with Christ, no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Philippians 1, let's go back there. 1:21 and 22. It says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain, but if I'm to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which to choose. To live as Christ means fruitful labor. It means that you'll be living for others. That's what it means. That's what we're talking about here. It means that you'll be loving others, encouraging others. It means you'll be serving others and praying for others. You'll be giving to others. And this will be work. This will be sacrifice. This will be labor. And this means that you'll be tired at times. All of us get tired. You know what it means to be tired. But might we be tired for Christ? Might we at the end of the day say, Lord, I live for you today. I'm tired because I live for you. To live for Christ is going to be tiring. You read, you know, litany of things that Paul did, 2 Corinthians 11, and sleepless nights were there. I mean, this is it. It means sacrifice. It means losing sleep for Christ. It means tired for Christ. That's what it means. It's part of it. The result is there'll be spiritual fruit. There'll be eternal results. Ephesians 1:4 says that God chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. That is, he chose us to get saved. What John 15:16 says, Jesus talking to disciples, and of course to us as well, says, you didn't choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you would go and bear fruit, and fruit that would remain. That is, God chose us to be saved, and he chose us then to affect the lives of others, to be an influence in the lives of others. I mean, do you think of your life that way? Do you think, hey, I want to influence others for the Lord's sake? That's what I want. And the only way this is going to happen if this phrase, to live as Christ, is true in your life. This verse in 2 Corinthians 12, I will most gladly spend and be expended for your sake. Do you hear his attitude there? This is Paul. I will not just gladly, most gladly spend and be expended for your sake. Wow. These are hard verses to say. I mean, this is a hard teaching. It really is. To live as Christ means sacrificing, giving up your life for others. But it's possible because Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That is, you can do all that God wants you to do. That's what the verse means. It doesn't mean you can do anything you want. It means you can do all that God wants you to do. That's what it's saying. And to be a witness, to be an ambassador, to be a slave for Christ, it's fantastic. It's wonderful. I mean, there's nothing better in this life. This is it. You know, people go all through life as unbelievers looking for that. What's going to really make me happy? What's going to satisfy? They're not going to find it. It's only in Christ. And it's wonderful that we, by God's grace, only by God's grace, then have this, that He saved us, that He has chosen us for these things. And the blessings for serving Christ are literally out of this world. Yes, you'll be blessed in this life as a Christian. That is true. You'll have love, joy, peace, patience, many different things that we've talked about in the past. But the greatest blessings will be the blessings that we experience after this life when we then are in heaven. And remember, we've talked about this. God has given each one of you a specific number of years to live for Him. And He's given you the time and the talents, the money to live for Him. He's given you what you need. So make the most of what God has given you, the life He has for you. It says in Job 14, man's days are determined. You have decreed the number of his months and have set limits he cannot pass. Isn't that interesting? God knows every one of you. He knows exactly how many days, exactly how many months you can live, and you're not going to get past that. What He has determined in eternity past is set and fixed. It's, wow, I've got a set amount of time. That's it. I'm going to make the most of this time He has given me. And only when you're in heaven you realize how long it was. You don't know the day you're going to die. You don't. God knows. God knows. Indeed, to live as Christ is what life is all about. And as a child of God, there's nothing else. There's nothing better. There's nothing more wonderful. This is it. This is what God wants for you. Have this relationship with Christ and to serve Christ and have then the desire to exalt Christ in your life, whether by life or whether by death. Indeed, there's nothing greater, nothing more important, nothing more satisfying than this. This Christ-centered, Christ-led, Christ-directed, Christ-glorifying life. This is it. I want to read. Valley of Vision is it's like a devotional, and Steve on a number of occasions has read it or from it as part of the invocation here in front before we sing, and it's a wonderful devotion. I would encourage every one of you to get it, but it's one that's packed, and so I'm going to read this one devotional relates to Christ, and it's just so packed. I mean, it takes a long time to really think through it, but I'll just read it. May the Lord speak to your heart. The prayer is this: O God, Thy main plan and the end of Thy will is to make Christ glorious and beloved in heaven, where He is now ascended, where one day all the elect will behold His glory and love and glorify Him forever. Though here I love Him but little, may this be my portion at last. In this world Thou hast given me a beginning, and one day it will be perfected in the realm above. Thou hast helped me to see and know Christ, though obscurely, to take Him, receive Him, to possess Him, to love Him, to bless Him in my heart, mouth, and life. Let me study and stand for discipline in all the ways of worship out of love for Christ, and to show my thankfulness, to seek and know His will from love, to hold it in love, to daily care for and keep this state of heart. Thou hast led me to place all my nature and happiness in oneness with Christ, in having heart and mind centered only on Him, in being like Him and communicating good to others. This is my heaven on earth, but I need the force, the energy, the impulses of Thy Spirit to carry me on the way to my Jerusalem. Here it is my duty to be as Christ in this world, to do what He would do, to live as He would live, to walk in love and meekness. Then would He be known. Then would I have peace in death. It's encouraging. Well, we've spent some time talking about the first half of this verse, and I believe that last phrase in that little devotional is a segue then to what we're going to conclude on today, the last part of our time. We'll talk now about the second part, and we're going to take really a few weeks to talk about this, and to die is gain. And over the course of the weeks ahead, we're going to move into talking about heaven and what the Lord has for us in store. Well, the word and And it says to live as Christ and to die as gain. The word "and" is actually there in the Greek. It's K-A-I, chi. It's a Greek word. To live is Christ and to die is gain. So we see that there's two parts of this verse, to live as Christ, to die as gain. We understand that they are related because we have this conjunction, this word between "and." And we understand that there's a connection. There's a connection between the life we live on earth and the life then that we have that we live in heaven. Now, this phrase, to live as Christ, we've talked about this, means that we have spiritual life in Christ on this earth. But we also know as believers that we're going to have spiritual life in Christ in heaven, right? So this phrase, understand me now, this phrase, to live as Christ, is also true in heaven. Also true in heaven, because everything's going to be about Christ. Everything's going to be centered around Christ. That's the way it's going to be. He will be our head. We will still be His body. He will be our groom. We will be the bride. We will have this dynamic relationship with Christ in heaven. And so to live as Christ is true there as well. But this phrase, to die as gain, means this, that the spiritual life that we have in Christ in heaven will be much greater than the spiritual life in Christ we have here. That's what it's saying. That's all that it's really saying. That's the first point. Second point is the phrase to live in the first part of this verse is talking about spiritually living, right? But the phrase to die in the second part of this verse is talking about physically dying. You get the difference? To live, spiritually live, to die, physically die. And physically dying or death does not means then that we physically stop living in this body on this earth, right? You all agree with that. Physically dying or death means we stop living in this body on this earth. But it doesn't mean that we stop spiritually living, because our eternal life, our spiritual life, then will continue. That's what we need to understand. And so physical dying, then, is just the means by which we leave this body and leave this earth and go to heaven, where then our spiritual life in Christ will continue. That's the point here. Third point is this, and this is a related point to number two. Physically dying is a connection. It's a door between spiritually living on this earth and spiritually living in heaven. It's a door. It's important then not to think of physical death or dying as a bad thing as often is thought of in the world today. It is not a bad thing. It is a good thing. Because again, it is the means by which we go from earth to heaven. It is the means by which our soul is released from this body. And we're taken to heaven to be with Christ forever and ever. Philippians 1:23. Paul says, to depart and be with Christ is very much better. Death, then, by definition, is departing from this body, departing from this world, and then going to heaven. That's what it means. Death is departing. Next point. This word "and" is indicating to us that there is no break between our spiritual life and on earth and our spiritual life in heaven. As Christians, we get saved and we have spiritual life, we have eternal life. And this eternal life then continues once we die. And there's absolutely no break, not a day, not a month, not even a split second. There's no break between our life on earth as a Christian and our life in heaven as a Christian. No break at all. So God has then given spiritual life to our soul. And our soul, which has this spiritual life then, at death then, the soul at death is released from the body, is taken immediately. And I would suggest at one and the same time, you exit this world and then enter heaven. At one and the same time, that's how it's going to work. If you're gone, you're there. That's it. Let me read what Jonathan Edwards, I like. He's got a lot to say about this. He spoke quite a bit about this subject. He says this, death is made a servant to the saints to bring them to Christ in heaven. Death to the saints is always a passage or avenue leading out of a world of vanity and sin and misery into a world of life, light, and glory. The awful appearance of death is but a mask or a disguise that death wears. It is not terrible, but joyful in reality. Death is joyful in reality to the Christians. That's what we're saying, to live as Christ, but to die is gain. To die is gain. I want you to turn your Bible to John chapter 11. Let's see what the Lord says about this, these familiar verses about the resurrection. I'm going to read this three times because I want to explain something to you, what it's saying. Jesus said to her, I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? First time. Second time, go through again. I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live. live there, meaning spiritually live. With me? Keep going. Even if he dies, physically dies. With me? Keep going. And everyone who lives, physically lives, and believes in me will never die, spiritually die. Four different meanings. Let's go through again. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will spiritually live even if he physically dies. And everyone who physically lives and believes in me will never spiritually die. Do you believe this? That's what it's saying. But the important thing, the main important thing, is do you believe this? Do you believe it? This is the truth. And if you don't know the Lord today, this is it. Do you believe this truth? Do you believe what he says here? That as you're physically alive, you can believe in Christ and then be spiritually alive. And then when you physically die, you will then spiritually live forever. That's what he's saying. This is the truth. Do you believe it? And I'm not really asking it. The Lord is asking. He's saying, do you believe this? You need to face up to Christ himself if you're not sure about your salvation and realize that he's offering you the gift of eternal life, forgiveness of your sins. It's wonderful. It's fantastic. Well, there's more to say about this phrase, to die is gain, and we'll talk much more about it in the weeks ahead. But the one thing I want to conclude with, and we're going to come back to this really a few times as we look at this verse, this last phrase here, the next few weeks, is that when a person dies or is raptured, whatever the case might be, what happens then is he will be then with Christ. And that's gain. And that's the most important part of to die is gain, that you will be with Christ forever and ever. That is it. Because once you pass out of this life, however that is, whether it's by physical death or by rapture, then you will literally be with Jesus Christ. And you'll be with him forever. You'll be with the one who loved you and loves you and will love you more than anyone else. You like to be with people that love you, don't you? You like that. Y'all like that. But you want to be, don't you want to be with the one who loves you more than anything else? That's what we're talking about here. To live as Christ and then to die as gain. But for now, Christ has us here, and we're going to talk about this in the weeks ahead too, that there is fruitful labor. There are things he has for you to do. And I always remember this, and I've shared this in the past, but Pansy Leroy, who passed away, well, it was a year ago, I believe March 22nd, and she'd always say, hey, God's got me here for a reason. If I'm alive, he's got me here for a reason. You always must understand that. If you are alive, he has got you here for a reason, and the reason is not about you. It's about Christ, and about Christ means it's about others. That's what it is. That's what it is. But we're going to talk more about to die as gain, because that should be a motivation for us to live life to the full on this earth than for the Lord. One last verse, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, says, fix your hope completely on the grace to be given to you when Jesus Christ is revealed. That is, we are to be thinking about the future that God has for you. And my purpose in taking all this time on this one verse is there's a lot about the future that we need to understand and believe and hope for and be excited about and look forward to. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time we've given us together to be here. And thank you again for this simple truth and verse, to live as Christ, to die as gain. For to me, might each of us be able to say that with the confidence, the heart, Paul said. For to me, to live as Christ and to die as gain. Lord, I don't know where all the people here, their hearts are at. You know, and that's what's important. Might each one here say to you, Lord, Lord, you deal with me. You work in me. You work through me as you would wish. As I mentioned before, that the Lord is one who is by his word and by his spirit enabling us then to put to death the deeds of the flesh. So it's not us living, but rather it's you, Lord Jesus, living through us. It's really a simple truth. But the fact is, it's a spiritual battle. Because I tell you, the flesh is strong, but God, you through your word and spirit, you're stronger. And I pray, God, that each one of us here would experience victory. We talked about this building being changed, transformed the outside. Might our lives be changed, transformed on the inside. Might we be different because of you, God. Might we love you. Might we live for you. Lord Jesus, again, thank you. And we're going to spend more time talking about you in a few minutes and how you died for us and rose again to save us and forgive us of our sins. But we just bless you again for this time here together. And thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your purpose for us. Just encourage us, protect us, keep us going. Help us, Lord, to see we need each other. Might we encourage each other, and might we be encouraged by each other. Might that be true. Thank you again now for this time. We pray this in Jesus' name.